We know that we all hope. We hope that everything's going to go well for all of us. We hope that our children are going to do well. That hope there. Some of the times we hope for things that we see also. But most often that will not come to us. It's the hope of the unseen that we're looking for. That hope to trust, to be confident, the great expectation. 2 Corinthians 1:10, on whom ye have set your hope. Hope had to do with the unseen and the future. If you would turn to Romans 8, 24 and 25. Romans 8. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it under trial, which is the effect of waiting for the coming of our Lord. Let us have prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee, yes, for that refreshing rain this week. We thank thee for the surety of the refreshing rain of the Holy Spirit to come upon your people, so that we may finish the work. We are praying for that work to be done, so that our Savior may come in all of his glory. To talk about that second coming, the surety of it, as Scripture says, that he's coming again. We need to be ready for it. I pray this morning that we will be ready for the coming of our Lord in all of his glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. That's the last time I talked about the second coming, many of the aspects of his coming and the surety given in the Scriptures. And I said that as Christians, as children of God, that we need to and that we can prove with Scripture the coming of the Lord, the second coming of that Jesus Christ, our Lord, to present upon Scripture authority the fact of his coming. If you would turn to Luke 17:24. For as a lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Yes, our Lord is coming, and all eyes shall see him from one end of earth to the other end. Ellen White tells us that it is according to the covenant promise. Oh, how the divine head longed to have his church with him. They had fellowship with him in his suffering and humiliation, and it is his highest joy to have them with him to be partakers of his glory. Christ claims the privilege of having his church with him, to have them with him in according to covenant promises and agreement with his Father. Review and Herald, October 17, 1893. Yes, we have that assurity. And it's the last time I left off with Christ was not finished, and he was not finished. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, that second coming, the visible, personal appearance of our Lord. And that is what the Scriptures is talking about, the second coming of our Lord. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Verse 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23. 22 and 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, that they are Christ at his coming. Yes, to be Christ. We have that opportunity now to be Christ, to have Christ within us. And I pray that it's that way. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. We which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I believe that Christianity rests entirely upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see in the world right now that the world is trying to destroy Christianity if it can. But we can look to the empty cup. We can look to the empty tomb. For the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We know that death comes to us all. But to have that final death, not to have to worry about it. He that become the first fruit guaranteed that for you and I. And he shall arise, and that we shall share in that resurrection and in its power. We know that if Christ arose, that can't be truly denied if we trust in the word of God. We know that we can stop the critics by using the word of God for the surety of that, of our Lord Jesus Christ coming, is that there. It is scientifically and legally and divinely established, of the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. We have the empty tomb in its history. We have the living evidence of people who have been saved because of Jesus, because he arose. Are there people that know that they have been reborn again? How about you and I? Do we know that we have been reborn? Are there people that know Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I pray that each one of us does this morning know our Jesus. And he truly wants to be with us. And that will come. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 26 is the fact, the true fact, more perfectly showing the resurrection and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection made sure of his ascension, as I said the last time. His ascension is absolutely guaranteed of his second advent. For he said, if I go, I will come again. And we can bank our life on that. Jesus Christ, who is verily God, he rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father, and he is seated at the right hand of God. The resurrection in his section guarantees his second coming. He came to present to the world the love of God and to establish his Father's kingdom. God has never been defeated. He came. They rejected both the king and his kingdom. And they went further and they said, we will destroy this man who assumes to rule over Caesar and who calls himself God. And at first, I believe that they thought they did. It is crucifixion. But with surety, 3 days later, he arose from the grave and ascended to the Father. They crucified him. They buried him. They sealed the tomb with the power of Rome. They put a guard at its door. But Jesus arose. He rose up before the angel announced it. The angel didn't come and open that tomb and have Christ arise. Christ arose. before the angel came and removed that stone and told the story. And we can bank on that. We know that he cannot be defeated. Was he going to leave himself without a witness here in the world? We know that to be no. And what did he do? He said, I will send a comforter, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And what else? Who came to testify to the things that Christ came to do for those who love him and accept him. And to further, with the Holy Spirit, to have charge in the work of the regeneration of each of our lives. To take the blood of Christ and create a new creature, a new creation, to build his body, the church. On the day of Pentecost, the body of Christ began forming. But also on that same day, the Antichrist started forming also. The tares and the wheats we know that are going to live together until the end. But then Christ is going to come and destroy those tares. Christ left the church in the world because the kingdom of God is not yet. Lord, teach us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Today the Church of Jesus Christ is in the world and we are part of it. We need to present to man the gospel of Christ and his Savior to those who do not believe. That is our mission. We know that Christ has to come back to finish his work. The kingdom shall be established with surety. Time has been fixed for the kingdom to come. We don't know that time ourselves. But we know that the king is coming back. Daniel chapter 2 verses 44 and 45 will tell us that. Who is Christ now? He is our high priest, making the advocate plea for us in heaven. We know that the Lord will be Lord of lords and King of kings when he comes. It can all be based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came, he was crucified, he was buried, he arose, he ascended to his Father. He will come, and the kingdom will be established. If you would turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. We know that is going to be at the end of 1,000 years. When he comes the third time, we talk about after 1,000 years, but I don't know if we ever really use the phrase the third time, but he is coming that third time to set his kingdom to have it. Matthew 26:64. You turn there, Matthew 26, verse 64. We shall see the Son of Man, sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. What a hope there tells us there, to see our King coming. Zechariah 12:10, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. It is second coming. There will be a special resurrection for those people to see the coming of the Lord. Zechariah 14:5, and that the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. Yes, the hope, this hope, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. soon. It is a surety. It produces watchfulness. Matthew 24. Turn back a little bit there. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Watching for his return. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known him, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's a surety. That's a watchfulness that we need to have. It assures sobriety, the seriousness and piety that we need. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. It presents consolation, hope, and joy. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18. Titus 2:13 was our scripture reading where it taught, looking for that blessed hope, we are to grow in grace. We know that this doctrine of the scripture of the church needs to be preached by every one of us. We all can give this message. The word of God has unfolded the steps of Christ that he has done and yet to be done. Souls have been reborn and been added daily to Jesus. We pray that we are doing that and helping to be able to do that through our witnessing. Christianity and the life of Christ revealed in the life that we may have in Christ. And that is the life of the redeemed. To be redeemed from our sins. For the Lord to come to change us. To be like him. To be changed back into the image of our God. Yes, the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is fishing for souls. Just as he told Peter to come with me, we'll fish for souls. Christ said, I put you in the world to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? We know that the gospel is Jesus Christ. We need to preach Christ and him crucified. That is our work. It will produce conviction and conversion in us and in others. To truly have that conversion that we need to be children of the living God. As I said, the second coming to produce watchfulness. It should also produce sacrifice, should produce love and consolation that we may give to others. We know that the world is to be lighted by the light that comes streaming from heaven because he rose from the dead. Yes, our Savior beat death. So we have that surety of ourselves of beating death. We can look at types. In the Old Testament, from Eden to Calvary, we have the altar. We see three invaluable facts there. First, every time a sacrifice was made, it testified to the depravity of man. Second, every time a sacrifice was made, it also testified to the inefficiency and the weakness and the failure of the law to save. Because we know that we are not saved by the law. We are saved by Jesus Christ in him alone, by grace and faith alone. And third, every time a sacrifice was made, it pointed to the sacrifice on Calvary, the sacrifice of our dear Christ that came to this earth and became flesh, become like us, and went through far more than what we ever will go through. To endure what he did is impossible for man. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ, from Calvary to the kingdom, established a communion table. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He left the communion table as an evidence of his certain physical, personal, visible, tangible return. He is coming again. He is coming in bodily form. He is coming in glory. He is coming for his saints to take them home to spend 1,000 years with them and then come back to this earth where we will reside for eternity. What a promise, what a hope that each and every one of us has. I pray that it's burning in each one of us to establish his kingdom. Do this in remembrance of me. Till I come and raise the dead and change the living and catch them up to meet the Lord in the air. The promise given to us. And I would like to end with some words from Ellen White. As she talks about 1 Corinthians verses 51 through 55. We have a living, risen Savior. He burst the fetters of the tomb after he had lain there 3 days. And in triumph, he proclaimed over the rent sepulcher of Joseph, I am the resurrection and the life, and he is coming. Are we getting ready for him? Are we ready so that we shall fall asleep? We can do so with hope in Jesus Christ. Are you laboring for the salvation of your brothers and sisters? The life giver is soon to come. The life giver is coming to break the fetters of the tomb. He is to bring forth the captives and proclaim, I am the resurrection and the life. The last thought was of deaths. We know that he stands as a risen Savior, a risen host. Here they stand, and the finishing touch of immortality is put upon them. And they go up to meet their Lord in the air. The gates of the city of God swing back upon their hinges, and the nations that have kept the truth enter in. There are columns of angels on either side, and the ransomed of God walk in through the cherubims and the seraphims. Christ bids them welcome and puts them upon them his benediction. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come thou unto the joy of thy Lord. What is that joy? He sees of the travail of his soul and is satisfied. That is what we labor for here. Labor for. Here is one who in the night season we pleaded with God on his behalf. There is one that we talked with about his on his dying bed, and he hung his helpless soul upon Jesus. Here is the one who was a poor drunkard. We tried to get his eyes fixed upon him who is mighty to save, and we told him that Christ shall give him the victory. There are the crowns of the immortal glory upon their heads, and then the redeemed cast their glittering crowns at the feet of Jesus. And then the angelic choir strikes a note of victory, and the angels in the two columns take up the song, and the redeemed join in as though they had been singing the song on earth, and they have been. Oh, what music! There is not an inharmonious note. Every voice proclaims, worthy is a lamb that was slain. He sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. Do you think that anyone here, there will take time to tell of his trials and terrible difficulties? The former shall not be remembered no more. You say, God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. What surety that we have of our Lord Jesus Christ coming that second time. We need to be prepared for it so that we are not caught unawares. And I pray that each one of us will have that surety, that hope within our hearts of the coming of our Lord. Yes, our Heavenly Father, it gleams of the morning for our Lord to come for his people. We pray to thee, O Father, for the surety of the coming of our Jesus, our Savior. That through you, Father, for the assurance that all may be ready for that soon coming. We need to have that hope burned within us. We know not the hour or the day, but we know for surety that you are coming, Lord. You were getting prepared for that time. It is almost time for thee to stand up and say it is finished. To lay aside thy priestly garments and to put on your robe of righteousness. To come as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we pray that each one of us be we'll be ready for that coming. In Jesus' precious name, amen.